Hey, Kimmy.
What's up?
It's the best time of the year.
Sure is.
It's opening day. Let's get to it.
High drive into right, back at the wall, and it's gone.
Swung on a jolt deep to right field. There it goes. See ya.
First hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes up to it. Back near the wall. It's out of here.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, folks. Welcome to episode 73 of the Big Fly Pod with your co-host, KMA, Bacon, and T-Lou. We're talking, boys. It's opening day. It's opening day. It's opening day. But, boys, before we get into everything that we're going to talk about today, we're going to make sure we talk about Blake Snell going to the Giants, makes his decision and calls the Bay his new home. We talk about some injury updates around the league as opening day, of course, begins tomorrow or today, depending on when you listen to this episode, yesterday, whatever that is. We're all going to make our picks of who's going to make the playoffs. We've got three division winners from each league, of course, with three wildcard teams from each league as well. And finally, we make our picks on who takes the World Series trophy in 2024. We'll get Vinny's picks on Thursday. But as we always do, let's check in with the fellas. K-May, how you doing, buddy?
We're good. We're good, T-Lou. Thanks for asking. Vibes are high. We're on spring break this week. So today, not going into a tropical or nothing, just kind of laying low. Today, I went to the gym in the morning and then was the biggest piece of garbage for about 6 hours. So, enjoying my time off. We're getting a little relaxation time. So that's been good. So, yeah, can't complain. Life is good.
Bacon, we welcome you as a what should we refer to you? Are you full time now? I don't know. Have you talked to the? I don't know if you talked to anyone about if you're full time yet or how this works.
It's definitely pending a physical, and I have some concerns about how I'm going to hold up on a scrutiny of a medical assessment here.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I just did not anticipate that response. And that is why we are so happy that you have decided to do some shows with us, because this is what we need. We need a little Canadian energy, and we just got it from you. But how are you? How was your weekend? And how about this? How was your weekend as a podcaster for the first time?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I've been I'm setting goals. You know, I think a big part of every year and every new season is to set goals. And I think this year I'm just going to be the best podcast guest I can be.
Maybe, and you might even be the best podcast co-host. We don't know. Nobody really knows.
Whoa,
is that a lot to say? Is that a lot to say, or are your goals not that high?
Maybe 2025.
Okay. All right. Respect. You're okay. All right. Called up as a top prospect. I get it. Boys, let's talk about a guy who's at the top of his game, but has really been an interesting storyline this entire year, which is Blake Snell. He officially made his decision, like we talked about, and signed with the Giants on a 2-year, $62 million deal. I'm going to break down this deal because it's really interesting, even though it's not really going to matter because he's probably going to opt out after the first year. But it, of course, like I just said, includes the Scott Boras special. He has an opt-out after year one. So the first year base salary is $15 million. The second year is $30 million. What's interesting here is that he has a signing bonus that he will be paid in January of 2026 after he is done with the Giants on his current deal of $17 million. So if he decides to back out of this deal after year one, he's still going to get the base salary of $15 million this year, plus the $17 million signing bonus in 2026. If he decides to pick up the second year option, that is when everything will total out to be that $62 million deal. Boys, the Giants have had just a offseason to remember for them, because they've had off seasons to remember from being in pain, from Carlos Correa to Aaron Judge to, you know, being in talks with Shohei Ohtani. This team has now had a very excellent offseason, the eyes of many, with the likes of grabbing Matt Chapman, Aaron Hicks, and of course, Blake Snell, and some other moves that we'll talk about. K-May, your initial sort of thoughts when you saw the deal go down?
Yeah. Not surprising that the type of deal he got after how long it took, you know, shorter term, high AAV. I think going off of the Giants, from the Giants perspective, they're going to be one of the most interesting teams to watch in baseball this year, I think, just based on the offseason that they had. You know, does it push them over the top to get to the playoffs? I don't know. I think if one of Logan Webb or Blake Snell now gets injured, then it's kind of looking unlikely at that point, because the starting rotation after those two is very, like, a lot of question marks in that rotation. So we shall see. Biggest thing too with these guys who signed late in spring training is the thing I always wonder is how long is it going to take them to get up to full speed, right? I mean, you assume they've been working out privately off to the side, but is Blake Snell going to be ready to pitch 5-6 innings in a few weeks? You know, it's kind of the big question mark. So we shall see, but good deal for the Giants. Is it enough to get them over the edge? Like I said, I'm not quite sure yet, but I like the deal.
Bacon, what about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, is he ever ready to pitch 6 innings? I don't know. That's really it's a question mark for him at all times, I think. Yeah, it sounded like there's a report that came out that said he did kind of 4 innings on the side. It was like 64 pitches. But obviously not against major league hitters and probably not even against minor league hitters based on the timing. So what that looks like and what he can do at the start of the season, especially as a guy who's kind of been known as a slow starter in the past, it'll be really interesting to watch what he can do for the Giants.
Yep. Rotation wise, we talked a little bit about it. Logan Webb, Blake Snell, Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, and Keaton Wynn round out the 5. And then, of course, the trade that happened here this offseason with Seattle, where Robbie Ray was traded to the Giants. He'll, of course, be back at some time this year as well. I tried looking for projections as to when he'll be back. It sounds like all-star break, but who really knows at the end of the day with some of these injuries and everything. But as of right now, they're one of the only teams ever to have potentially 2 Cy Young winners on the same staff, which is pretty remarkable. And hopefully we get to see them this year. Now, my takeaways from the deal, of course, it goes into the discussion of Scott Boras. And I think what's really going to be interesting, if we want to just take a side conversation here away from the Giants and Snell and all this, because we'll talk about them again here in a sec. But with Scott Boras now, Scott Boras next offseason is going to have Juan Soto. He's going to have Blake Snell, Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, that all have those options, and some other big names as well, like Alex Bregman. So he has another chance next offseason to make some major deals. Now, these players, of course, Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, many thought of as a weaker free agent class. So can now, if these guys prove themselves again next year, will Boras get back onto his normal game that he's on, which is getting guys extremely large contracts and becoming cornerstones of a franchise? So that'll be an interesting storyline as we roll into 2025. But looking at this right now, Blake Snell, of course, the reigning NL Cy Young winner, has had the problem with the walks, which has led to less innings that he's been able to pitch, but he's able to get out of those innings based on the dominance that he has. Logan Webb is a safety net. He's easily in the top 5 for NL Cy Young, probably for years to come. A guy who consistently is in the rotation, he's durable, and he's fantastic on the mound. Blake Snell, okay, you still have a Cy Young winner on the mound, but where it gets really interesting, and KMA, you alluded to this earlier, is that bottom half of that rotation, which is Jordan Hicks, who has never been a starter, who got signed on to be a starter. Kyle Harrison, who is, of course, their top prospect, who had a decent year last year, comes into the fold now. He, of course, is manning the 4th spot, and then Keaton Wynn. And then Robbie Ray, we'll even see what he can do. So my concern with this is that, do you feel confident enough rolling out that rotation? And maybe, maybe not. Maybe Jordan Montgomery maybe finds his way there too. So we'll see. But boys, your overall thoughts, I'll start with you, Bacon. Your overall thoughts on this offseason for the Giants, because like I said earlier, they've had some major disappointing offseasons here in the past. But I felt like this offseason, they really honed in on what they were truly looking for, and I felt like they had a pretty successful offseason.
They finally got their dance partners, right? You know, they've been trying to get some guys to take their money the last couple off seasons, and I think this year they kind of realized that they were the only people left who were kind of willing to spend money, and so they kind of leveraged that to their advantage when you look at what they paid for essentially what you're kind of thinking are probably when your deals for Snell and Chapman, and then I think they kind of sat back and waited on Jorge Soler too. You know, I think that deal probably right around market value, but that's a nice ad for a team that's looking for some right-handed power at all times in that home park.
And K-May, you look at the lineup right now, you add on base with Jung-Hoo Lee in average, right? You grab those home runs just like Bacon said, okay, with Jorge Soler. Matt Chapman, you add a veteran bat to the lineup, and you have names like Tyro Estrada, Lamonte Wade Jr., Michael Conforto, Yastrzemski, Patrick Bailey, who's a really nice catcher behind the dish, hopefully from an offensive standpoint, he can pick it up a little bit. This team has start to put something together. Doesn't it just feel like it's such the Giants? Like, this just looks like a Giants lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for the fans because it feels like now they're finally picking a direction, right? I mean, for the last couple of years, it's kind of felt like, where are they going with their team? Kind of what are they doing with their roster, how they're assembling it? Feels like now they're kind of working towards something, right? So I'm happy for the fan base, happy for the Giants in general. They're kind of on the right trajectory here. So we'll see. Little spoiler alert. If they played in the Central, I would probably pick them to win the playoffs or to make the playoffs. But since they're in the NL West, they will not be my pick to get in the playoffs this year.
Oh, wow. Dropping it early.
Yeah.
You know what? Fine. You know what I'm going to do right now? We're going to drop what I want to hear from the dog's eyes, K-May. I want to hear with Dylan Cease trade. You were not on the episode. Bacon and I had the pleasure of breaking the news to the world that Dylan Cease was traded to San Diego. I did want to get just a little snippet as to your thoughts on the deal. Bacon, you already gave your thoughts, so we'll just let K-May, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it for both sides. I think the White Sox got a good return for it. And I think the Padres was an arm short down there. So they got their arm, and hopefully they'll do well for them and help them make a push to the playoffs. So good deal by both sides, I thought.
That it?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. All right, cool. We'll move on to injury updates. Did you guys have anything else to drop on the Giants? Nope. We'll talk about them a little bit later, maybe. We'll see. Injury updates across the league. Update on AL Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole. He will not throw for 3 to 4 weeks after seeing his second specialist out in California, as it looks to be some form of nerve inflammation in his elbow. From there, rehab will, of course, begin. I was looking around to see what does it look like timetable-wise, and it's so funny because you have some random people giving their opinion as to what it could be, but not really from official reporters, because when it comes to this, boys, I feel like it's something where no one will know until that first bullpen session or first throwing session, and how it feels and how Gerrit Cole feels out there and how confident he is to go out there. What's interesting too is that he's 33 years old. He can opt out of the remaining 4 years and $144 million remaining on his contract after this season, though the Yankees can void the opt-out by exercising a one-year club option worth $36 million. Now, of course, this injury, depending on how bad it is, which they said they should be able to avoid surgery, this could really kind of alter his potential offseason as well. How much of a concern is this in your eyes for the duration of the entire year for the Yankees? Do you feel like they can still make the playoffs if Gerrit Cole is going to run into some issues throughout the year? Bacon, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll spoil mine too. I don't have him in the playoffs. I do not.
Wow. Wow. That's not a biased pick though.
No, no, it's not. And we can get into that later too. I think the AL East is going to be really tough, and there's not going to be a lot of wins to go around.
Absolutely. K-May, what about you, buddy?
So, yeah, spoiler alert. I do have the Yankees in the playoffs. However, I'm not as high on them now since the Gerrit Cole news came out. He's the most important player in that team, right? I mean, if he is injured throughout the whole season, or he's not himself, you know, throughout the entirety of the season, then there's some big question marks that need to be answered. That's obviously why the Yankees were rumored to be in on Dylan Cease, rumored to be in on Blake Snell up until the end. So yeah, they need another arm probably, right? So who knows if Montgomery goes there. I assume they deal for an arm at the deadline if they don't do anything before the start of the season. But yeah, definitely concerning for the Yankees for sure. Probably one of the most important players to a team around the league. So
bingo. Other Yankee news as well. Aaron Boone reported that the Yankees star Aaron Judge will be on the field starting Wednesday in the Yankees next spring training game. All reports say that if everything is good on Wednesday for Judge, then he should be ready for opening day, barring any setbacks. This past week has been a little weird for him. He had days where he was able to be on the field, days that he was staying more in the cage. There's not really any reason to rush him back, especially with the Garrett Cole news now. And really, you need as much as you can throughout the year and trying to stay as healthy as possible. K-May, we talked about it in the Yankees episode. The IL is the biggest reason as to why this team probably is or isn't going to make the playoffs. So seeing him potentially going to be back on the field as a non-Yankees fan, but I will say as an unbiased podcast host, I do want to see Aaron Judge on the field, and I do want to see what the Yankees can do this year with that lineup. One other really kind of just low-key news that dropped here, boys, over the last couple of days was Bryce Harper. He is a bothersome back, quotes, bothersome back, whatever that means. Phillies aren't too concerned about it right now, but that's something to watch.
I think him playing first base this year will help with that. You know, he wanted to move around as much, so hopefully, you know, he's able to swing a bat well and still produce enough offensively to be a big impact in that squad.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think the first base move was a bit proactive by the Phillies, but this is exactly why they did it.
Boys, it's time. It's time to make our picks. It's funny because I have them written right down in front of me. I have them on my screen. I could share my screen like we're in a Teams invite right now, which I shouldn't even be bringing up because we don't want to talk about work. But I might make some changes literally as I'm talking and typing on the screen. What I'm thinking is that I think we just go division by division, and then we'll go at the end. Each of us will give our three wildcard picks for the NL. And then when we're in the AL, you will give your AL picks for the wildcard. Sound good? Okay, the NL West, I have the Dodgers.
Yeah, ditto.
3-3.
Okay. Did anybody want to talk about why the Dodgers are going to win the NL West?
I mean, just look at their offseason moves.
We're going to talk about them after this, too.
Yeah,
an entire episode.
I talked about it last time I was on the pod. I think that us having them 3-3 is probably not necessarily indicative of how competitive I think that division is going to be. I think there's a comfort level in picking the Dodgers, but I do think that there's a bunch of teams behind them that can give them a run for their money.
I think FanDuel had them at like -555 to win the division. And I think that a lot has to go wrong for them and a lot has to go right for other teams. It's not like a lot goes wrong for them and other teams can kind of stay steady. No, I think the D-backs, the Padres and the Giants have to do everything well that they are intended to potentially do well at, and the Dodgers really have to falter. So glad to hear that we're all on the same page there. Now, we are, of course, going to be doing the Dodgers episode here in a little bit, boys, because the Dodgers and Padres open up the year in Seoul, South Korea. They're going to be, of course, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just making sure.
I just sounded like you were going to say South Carolina there.
Yeah, you were very close.
Was I close? Yeah. Oh, man. That would have been hilarious.
You corrected
yourself.
That's S-O-U-L.
By the way, Bacon is from Canada, everyone. So the education system for America versus Canada, we can have as our own episode one day, but we will not get into that right now. Let's talk about the NL Central, boys. What are we feeling? I'm gonna go last.
Go ahead. Hey,
I thought this was the hardest one to predict. I don't really love any of those teams. I think the Cardinals rotation, what they did in the offseason was okay, but I'm not over the moon. But I'm gonna take a team that I think is kind of up and coming. I'm gonna take the Reds.
Nice.
Good for you.
As much as it pained me, T. Lou, I am taking the Cubs. I thought they were, you know, they were on the right track last year. I think they have enough pieces in place. You know, like Bacon said, I'm not in love with any team in this division as well. But I think they have the best chance to do it. with the best core guys that they have. Bringing Bellinger back was big, so I think I put him over the top, and I think they win the division.
So I will be picking the Chicago Cubs.
Crazy.
Okay, so I will say this. The Cubs have it's like the division, if you were to, like Kyle said earlier, if you take the Giants, yes, they might have a chance of winning the NL Central. The Cubs are really in an interesting spot, though, because all the teams that are in this division are so volatile as to what they're going to do, right? The Reds, from an offensive standpoint, probably have the best lineup in the division by far, in my opinion. I think that what their biggest issue is going to be is health, and they've already seen it right away. TJ Friedl's out for a couple of weeks. Matt McClain's had his issues back and forth, and who really knows what can happen with Ellie De La Cruz from a what is his ceiling? Or his ceiling is unbelievable, but what is he going to do from an adjustment standpoint this upcoming year? Spencer Steer, CES with Christian Encarnacion-Strawn is amazing, and other names as well. That lineup is absolutely loaded. But from a rotation standpoint, you have to say that if Hunter Green doesn't step up this year, people are really going to start to be a little bit more on him to see where he can go. Can Nick Lodolo come back and be healthy? You know, they're not necessarily in a position from a starting pitching standpoint, from a rotation, to really take the next step unless Hunter Green and Lodolo do so. Andrew Abbott's a fantastic pitcher. Is he a number one, number two? I think he's more of a number three. The Cardinals, to my boy Chase Keeter, if they, from a lineup standpoint, can be solid, and that their rotation can at least hold them above water from a veteran standpoint, I think that they have a legitimate shot. They're favored right now per FanDuel. But I'm going with the Cubs.
The Cardinals
are favored to win the division right now.
Surprises me.
They were favored last year as well. And they were bottom of the division, if you guys didn't know, last year. This will be my longest rant throughout the entirety of this division picks, even though I told you guys that I wanted to have this as a
regular
episode.
Right before we started the episode, Ty was like, hey, we're going to keep this really tight. Let's just make sure we do it super quickly.
Go ahead and mute yourself. There's a mute button. Go ahead and click that and you'll be good. So I think the Cubs, from the starting rotation standpoint, I think Imanaga is going to be absolutely wonderful this year. I think Justin Steele will have a baseline of a year. I think Kyle Hendricks, Jameson Taillon, Drew Smyly, and some of these other guys in rotation will do a solid job. They're going to pick up Jordan Montgomery here next week, and then we're going to have that here in about a month, which will be fantastic. That's a joke. But we might see Cade Horton this year, who everyone should get to know really quick because he's going to be unbelievable. Their lineup is solid top to bottom. Couple things this offseason from trades and other things like Michael Bush have really added a nice couple pieces to the lineup. I think the biggest free agent of the offseason, though, was Craig Counsell, and I think that Craig Counsell will do a fantastic job, and I think he will lead us. Craig Counsell, the former manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, who wanted to come to the right side of the beautiful Midwest, is going to take us to the promised land, and the Cubs are going to win the NL Central. Okay. All right. Let's go on to the NL East. I have the Atlanta Braves. KB?
Phillies.
Woo! Okay, Bacon.
I'll break the tie. I got the Phillies too.
Wow. Okay, boys, go ahead. KMA, let's start with you. Why are you picking Philly over Atlanta?
Yeah, I think they come out hungry. You know, they had an early exit last year, so I think they're going to come out with some fire under their, you know what, and they're gonna play well throughout the whole season. Bringing back Nola was big in the beginning of the offseason. I really like their balance between like power and speed almost, or that kind of power and contact in their lineup, right? You have like Bryson Stott is more of kind of a contact guy. Then you have guys like Bryce Harper, Castellanos are going to hit the ball out of the ballpark too. So I think their lineup matches up really well with other teams. Same with the rotation. They got dogs in that lineup, you know, Wheeler, Nola all the way down. So yeah, I like them. Braves are obviously a good team too, but I think in the bloodbath there that's going to be in the NL East, I think the Phillies come out on top.
Shouldn't sleep on the bullpen either. I think they got a lot of guys back there who can really, really kind of take over games. And if you got a lead going into the seventh, you know, there's a bunch of guys there who can help you close that out.
Agreed.
Wow. That's the first little bomb of bomb of the draft. You guys make some very, very valuable points. And now I'm kind of sitting here feeling alone, very alone, as I sit here and think as to why I think the Braves will come through. I think the Braves have the better lineup, in my opinion. I think from a pitching standpoint, I think Spencer Strider is even going to take another step. I think he's looked unbelievable this spring with some of the pitches he's had. My only concern, of course, is Max Fried and Chris Sale. But I think that with the way that Atlanta is able to adjust things, I think that they're going to put themselves in the right position. And I think the bullpen is solid enough to be able to do damage. I just think this offense is way too good. I will say this, though, because you guys make some very, very valuable points. I just don't see how this doesn't come down to the last month and at the end of the year, because I think both teams are going to deal with some struggles here and there. Philly, with Trey Turner possibly now having a better start to the year, really takes that step. I'm going to go with Atlanta for now, but I think I'm going to regret my take. All right, boys, let's pick our three wild cards. Of course, I had Philly getting in, and then I'm actually going to erase my pick that I have on here. I had San Francisco. I'm going San Diego. I love San Diego. La Jolla is a wonderful town. KMA, we love it. New Year's Eve forever. Don't ever forget. Beautiful town. Rotation is now set with KMA's former ace in Dylan Cease. I think from a lineup perspective, I think this team is going to go off. And I think losing Juan Soto, while it hurts them, if you hear that name, look at their lineup. It's still solid. Ha-Seong Kim is still a very, very underrated player who gets that lineup to go. I think Cronenworth is really going to step up this year. And I think Bogarts, Tatis, and Machado are going to be unbelievable as well. Campusano, watch out for this kid, everybody. This guy is an unbelievable young player on the come up. So I'm going to go San Diego. And then I have my home state. I'm kidding. My current residency of the state of Arizona, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks making the playoffs. I think they added everything they need. They unfortunately will not win the NL West because the Dodgers decided to spend over $1 billion on two players. I think the D-backs will be my final spot. So I have Philly, San Diego, and Arizona. KMA, who are your three wildcard picks, buddy?
Yeah, real quick. I think this is going to be a really exciting race to watch because I think there's a lot of teams in the NL kind of on that fringe who are close, but maybe not quite there yet. A la Miami last year, you know, teams like the Reds last year, teams who are like right there who just need to get over the hump a little bit. So with that being said, the entire race until the end of the season will be fun, I think. But I have the Braves for reasons we just mentioned. T. Lou, you just mentioned how good they are. So I have the Braves in the first spot, D-backs number two, and I have the Reds sneaking in that third spot.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. One from each division.
I love that. I think I, before I say anything, Bacon, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Braves wild card number one for me. I think it's pretty obvious that whoever of the Phillies or the Braves doesn't win the East is probably going to take that wild card spot. And then I have two NL West teams behind them. I got the Padres in wild card two, and I got the Giants in wild card three. It hurts me to leave out the Marlins. It really does. I think that rotation could be really nasty, but there's just too many health concerns around it as it stands right now. You know, Yuri Perez has the shoulder issue. Max Meyer, what do you get coming off of Tommy John? Braxton Garrett has a bit of a shoulder issue too. Obviously, Sandy Alcantara is out for the year. It hurts me to leave out the Marlins, but I do think they probably just come up just short.
Let me ask you this, B. Why are you picking San Francisco and San Diego over Arizona?
A bit of a World Series hangover. I think you're probably not going to get the year you got from Lourdes Gurriel last year. I think you're probably not going to get the year that you got from kind of the 3-5 in their rotation and in their bullpen. I think they probably performed a little bit above what they would normally do. And then obviously they got worked really hard all the way into November too. It's just a gut feeling. You know, there's too many spots. Or there's too few spots to get all those NL West teams in that I like, and I couldn't find room for them.
I respect that take. They're young. They're going to need some other guys to really step up. Corbin Carroll has had his health concerns with his shoulder. That'll be really interesting to watch this year. Can he at least stay healthy for majority of the year? Because from a fantasy baseball standpoint, that guy is just an absolute treat to watch from the numbers. But I think that, we're talking actual baseball, it's going to be, can he stay afloat? I think Christian Walker, you know what you're going to get from him. Eugenio Suarez will be a really interesting ad. He could be a little volatile. Can he put up a, you know, potentially 25 to 30 bombs again? We'll see. I do actually like what you said right there, because there is a little bit of concern in certain areas. Kame, anything else to add there from rounding out the NL?
No, I think Bacon makes some good points to the D-backs there. I do love what they did in the offseason, so I think that's enough to get him in, but valid points for sure on both sides of the argument.
All right, boys, let's move on to the AL, the AL West. I have the Seattle Mariners.
Wow. I have the Houston Astros.
Okay. Astros as well. K May and I are just right on the same page here. I got the Astros as well. I think they're the king of the crop there. And to beat them, you got to really kind of, you got to do it. You got to show me that you can.
That rotation right now is thoroughly injured, right? And I think that Seattle has one of the best rotations in all of baseball. And I think that Julio Rodriguez is about to take a ungodly step to a AL MVP like case. And I think that their lineup has some really nice pieces, which they added with Mitch Garver and some others. I think that the rotation will take them to the promised land. I love saying that. Take them to the promised land. Like when you hear that, does that
promised land of division champions?
Division champions. Okay. All right. I kind of wanted to throw a little sneaky pick in there, and I actually feel good about that.
If you win the AL Central, is that the promised land too?
Well, that's going to be the Kansas City Royals for me.
Whoa.
K-May, what about you? K-May, what about you?
That's a bomb. I'm going to go Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
Sneaky good offseason. I like what they did.
Yeah, we'll spread it around here. I have the Twins. I think they'll repeat at the top, but for me it was down to the Twins and Tigers. I think those are the teams kind of at the top of the class there.
The Kansas City Royals, literally, just, it's so funny when you watch a team make decisions solely on the business side of baseball, right? They want to build a new stadium. They want to prove it to the fans in the city that they're willing to compete to build the stadium, because obviously, you know, from the baseball business side of things, the owners make more money, of course, off the money that they make inside the ballpark rather than having to do profit sharing and all that. So whatever we want to say there, I'm not the business side of baseball guy, but I do enjoy hearing that side of it, because it's like, okay, that makes more sense as to why you gave Michael Wacha a deal and Seth Lugo and some of these other names. So I am going with the Kansas City Royals based on the fact of young and hungry. I think that they have veteran leadership from the pitching standpoint. I think Cole Reagans everybody wants to, of course, pick him as a potential Cy Young candidate at this point. He needs a lot more to happen for him to get to that point. But I think that lineup plays, and it is a lot of fun. And I think Bobby Witt is looking at a potential AL MVP-like selection as well. K-May, what about yourself with Detroit?
Yeah, like I said, sneaky good moves that they made this offseason. Really, the Kenta Maeda add and the Jack Flaherty add to that rotation. I think it stabilizes it really well in the middle. They have some questions in the lineup. They have some young guys who maybe haven't quite performed yet, such as Riley Green. Torkelson had a lot of strikeouts last year. But I expect those guys to kind of take a step forward and kind of carry the offense. So I think they have enough to get it done in a weak division.
Bacon, Minnesota right now is going to be without Duran here for a little bit. Are you concerned that your pick might be wrong?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm terrified of that thought. It's kept me up. Oh. Sorry, days, bring it up. Nights. It's such a weak division that I think if you miss a couple months with a reliever, it's not that bad. I think probably Carlos Correa, Buxton, and Royce Lewis are what's really driving this pick for me, and I guess Joe Ryan in the rotation too. I just kind of think they're the best of a weak group of teams. It's not something I feel super strongly about. It's just the way I'm leaning.
NL Central, AL Central, chaos. It could be pure chaos this year. Paul Skeens could be pitching a potential like game-winning game by the end of this year for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's how crazy this division is. It's insane. Yeah,
that's a wild thought.
Thank you. Thank you. Whatever.
I didn't think you were getting wilder than Royals to win the division, but there we were.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me started. AL East, though, I do have Baltimore. I got Baltimore. KMA, what about you?
Yeah, same. Love the Baltimore Orioles. We saw last year what they can do. So up and coming, I expect them to do a lot of the same this year.
Bacon. 3 for 3. I got Baltimore, too.
I think that Corbin Burns, their signing, obviously anyone would look at that and say that is incredible. But what people need to realize is that they have just so much depth in their farm system, on their current roster. You saw four guys in Colton Cowser, Kyle Stowers, Jackson Holiday, and some of these other names where you're just like, man, like, this team is absolutely loaded. One guy that I'm talking about, Jordan Westberg, is an absolute treat to watch as well. So from a lineup standpoint, they're absolutely stacked. Rotation-wise, they solidified that need with Corbin Burns. How big is that now with the Kyle Bradish injury? That was absolutely huge for them. So I think Baltimore comes all, you know, does end up taking that next step and winning the division. I think the Yankees are going to run through some struggles this year with injuries. Boston's not even a threat. Tampa Bay, who really knows what they can be? I don't want to risk making a pick there. Toronto, I do have in the wild card. So I'm going to go into my wild card picks here. I got Toronto, I got Houston, and I got the Yankees. KMA, what about you?
I have the Yankees, wild card 1, Texas Rangers, defending World Series champs, wild card 2, and the Minnesota Twins taking home that third wild card spot.
Ooh.
I like how spread out we are here. So I have the Blue Jays in wild card 1. I think we kind of talked about this last episode where I'm buying what they're selling. Rangers wild card 2. I don't think they're going to win enough games to win that division. But you look at what's going to happen in their rotation in the second half. I think they're going to easily be able to get into one of those wild card spots. And then the third wild card, it was open to me. I think you can make a case for a lot of different teams, but I took the Rays. I think the Rays kind of always end up in this picture. And I don't want to be the guy who overlooks them for the 6th, 7th, 8th year in a row.
I love how you kept the Yankees out. I love how you kept them out.
They suck. What are we talking about here? Boone is gone by the All-Star break.
Oh, my God. I love having you on here, dude. All right, boys. Let's talk World Series matchups, okay? I have – oh, my God. I wrote it down, but I might regret this.
Royals Pirates.
It's close. I wrote it down and it just like kills me because now I look at it and I'm just like, were you drinking too much water earlier? I just think that with the way that the rotation and everything right now is panned out and where this lineup can go and just how much success they've had in the playoffs, I have the Houston Astros again in the World Series. And then I also, from the NL side, I can't not take them, man. The Atlanta Braves. I'm rolling with that. I'm feeling good about it, boys. Actually, I feel terrible about the pick. I'm not going to lie to you. This is way too freaking hard. KMA, what about you, buddy?
Well, we'll be happy to expose you in October if you're wrong. We are going Philadelphia Phillies are going to defeat the Baltimore Orioles in 6 games. At the end of the day, I think the Phillies' experience and their age kind of gets them over the top, and I think they get that title for Philly.
Bacon's sitting there, man. He's pondering, dude.
Kyle May, you absolute son of a gun. I think the Philadelphia Phillies are going to beat the Baltimore Orioles.
Wow.
Right here. I got it right there. World Series, Phillies over Orioles.
Look at that. There you go. Hey, great minds think alike, right?
There we go. And ours too.
Oh, my God. I have Atlanta. All right. Well, boys, we made our picks. We'll get Vinny's picks. I'm going to try to get CM's picks. CM and I golfed this past weekend, and he beat me by multiple strokes. I will let him discuss that the next time he's on the podcast when he isn't coaching the youth and building the youth, just like Bacon does. We'll talk about that one day. We actually have 3 coaches now on our podcast.
How about that?
It's incredible what you guys do. I think what's more impressive, boys, is we're coming up here on the 40-minute mark. I think I want to talk Dodgers. I want to talk about this unbelievable offseason and what this has meant to baseball. But, boys, before we sign off and move on to 74 here, episode 74, anything else to add?
Not for me.
That's all I got. Let's have a great season, huh?
Let's have a great season, boys. Opening day is here. Please tune in to episode 74 as we're going to talk about the Dodgers here, and we'll talk to you again here soon.